Lindsay Welbers is the author of Chicago Transit Hikes, and has a blog called Third Coast Hikes, and advocates getting out in the woods, even in around the city. And Lindsay, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am well. So tell me about how you got got into the love of nature. What was it? Where'd you grow up, and where are you from, and all that?
Well, I'm a lifelong Illinois resident. I've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
I grew up in central Illinois. If you know where Starved Rock is, I grew up in a town about half an hour west of that.
Gotcha.
And then my parents' house was just in the woods, so there was no riding your bike to the corner store because I lived in the woods. So it's just the nature has really just always been the most natural and comfortable place for me.
Yeah, wow. And then now moving to the city, though, you did move to Chicago, correct?
I did. Yes.
Yeah.
I moved in 06 for college, and then permanently in 2010.
And what was that adjustment like? You know, you're living in the woods.
I had been familiar with city life, and we had friends who would come up here, and my sister had already moved here, so it wasn't a massive culture shock. But I will tell you that I was downright excited to learn the number of restaurants that would deliver food to my door that were not just the one pizza restaurant in town.
Right. It's the little things, you know?
It's just the little things. I can get, what kinds of, from how many continents? Fantastic.
Yeah. That's outstanding. That's great. That's the, you get to appreciate that. Lindsay Welbers is with us, and we're going to talk about her book, which is coming out in May, called Chicago Transit Hikes. And you can check out Third Coast Hikes. And it's about she wants people to get out there and experience nature. So we'll be doing that.
I'm born up the country, baby, don't you want to go?
Nick DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline Studio here until 4. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Lindsay Welbers is my guest. She is the author of a book that's coming out in May called Chicago Transit Hikes, and her blog is Third Coast Hikes. And Lindsay, tell us all about Third Coast Hikes.
So I guess Third Coast Hikes is just kind of the blog I started out when I started really backpacking, which I probably only really started going backpacking a couple of years ago. And it's just kind of where I started putting all of those photos and outlining the things I see and just, you know, putting my reflections of what I found while I was out there, in part to keep track for myself and in part because there's like a massive glut, I think, in the outdoors industry of news about the West, the western half of the U.S. and the East Coast is, you know, and the whole Appalachian Trail. But for some reason, they always forget us here in the Midwest.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was, you know, part of what I thought, what I was thinking when I was putting that out there. Just like, well, here we are.
Okay.
Don't forget us.
Don't forget us. Exactly. Now,
don't forget us. I mean, we've got so many amazing things. It's like the Great Lakes are just so astonishing. I don't understand why people don't remember them.
Yeah, yeah. How often do you get out there, Lindsay, and backpacking?
Oh, not nearly as often as I'd like. If I can get one good backpacking trip in a year, I think I'm doing okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, I'm busy.
Well, good. It's good to be busy. So yeah. Lindsay Welbers is our guest. The book, which is coming out in May, is called Chicago Transit Hikes. Tell me about what's going to be in the book.
So I did my best to try and make it as useful as a document as possible to as many people as possible. So it is really a guidebook to all of the places, not even all of the places I could find, because I would have made it like a twice as long if I'd really gotten to include them all. These are the ones that are the best, that are the easiest to get to, using only the transit system that we already have. A lot of it's on the Metro. A few of them are on the CTA. And a number of them are on the South Shore Line. But these are all day hikes, or even there's a couple of campsites that you can get to just to go and enjoy the world that exists directly outside of downtown Chicago. And it gets beautiful fast.
Yeah. And I'm wondering how many people right now who are listening are like, wait a minute, I can take the CTA to a hike? Tell us a little bit about how surprising it is people can just jump on the Metro or the CTA and then be out in the woods or hiking.
I think I wanted to include the CTA, and because Chicago has so many beautiful places, I made sure we included a few of those. Like I couldn't forget the lakefront; it's right there, and it's perfect and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But as soon as you hop on the Metro, you can, because of just how differently Metro operates, you can get so far away from downtown in like less than 90 minutes. I think I made it all the way out to Elburn while I was writing this book, a town I'd never heard of. It's at the end of the line. And what I found there was an adorable little town with Elburn Forest Preserve. It's just this beautiful prairie landscape and these thick woods. And there's a marker to the old Oregon Trail there, which is, I guess, the Oregon Trail before that Oregon Trail.
Okay.
So I found all of this neat history in a beautiful setting, 90 minutes from downtown Chicago, or less possibly by train. And it's just, it's pastoral out there. I mean, you're going past fields, and you can see hawks out there. It's just so good. So good.
And surprising too, because it's just it's just a Metro train right away.
There are so many more than I thought there would be.
What are some of your favorites?
I'm a big fan of the Somme Preserve up in Northbrook, SOMME Somme. They've got the Somme Nature Preserve. I think it's a nature preserve. Their prairie is, but they've also got just this beautiful oaky woodland scape. It's just so good. And that's one of my favorites. I'm also a big fan of Illinois Beach State Park. That's up in Zion. That one's super good because it has a campsite, and it's also the only Illinois State Park in the book. And I think it is the only place that you can access the beach in Illinois, right there on Lake Michigan. So that one's pretty good too.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. Now,
Fort Sheridan.
Fort Sheridan. Go ahead. Tell us about Fort Sheridan.
I mean, Fort Sheridan's just such a beautiful landscape. And that one's particularly good because it's actually really close to the train. So you don't have to walk very far once you leave the train to get to the trailhead. But it's got just this, it's right there on Lake Michigan, and we've got beautiful bluffs. So if you want to get a little topography in, that's a good place for it.
Yeah, I've been to Fort Sheridan. That's one of the few places that I've been to. I think a lot of people have gone to Fort Sheridan. It's really a very popular place, is it not?
It is, yeah.
Very cool. And the book is going to be available in May. How long did it take you to put the whole thing together? I mean, obviously you did a lot of traveling, you did a lot of hiking, but the book itself, how long did it take you to do?
It was kind of a whirlwind, actually. I think this idea has been rolling around in my head for a number of years, but I don't think I actually sat down to start writing the book until about early October.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a quick
turnaround.
That's a quick turnaround. I mean, it's not coming out until May, but...
But in the publishing world, that's a quick turnaround.
Oh,
yeah,
it is. It is, yeah.
I got started, and I had done a number of bits of legwork, and I figured out a good game plan. And then, if you're familiar with NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, it's a program, happens every year. Thousands and thousands and thousands of writers across the globe dedicate the entire month of November to writing a novel. A novel is 50,000 words, so you just do that in a month. No big deal. No big deal. No, but when you break it down and make it a daily habit, it makes it pretty easy to, well, I mean, not easy, because I think everything else and everything, every other responsibility I had in life kind of set fire during that month. But that was, I think, the month that by the end of that month, I had a solid draft going. And during the middle of that, I thought it was going so well, the writing of my book was going so well that I sent out a couple of pitch letters expecting there's an old adage that you should expect about 100 rejections before you get a single yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, I don't know, there must just be an interest in this idea because there were like two hard yeses in my inbox before a single no came through.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's unusual.
Yes, it is. Very unusual. Yeah. Wow.
So I'm trying to keep that perspective of like, no, it's not this easy usually, Lindsay.
Yeah, it's not.
But yeah, so we got I wrapped up a draft by the end of December, and the publisher worked really hard to make sure it got out. And I can't say anything but nice things about their team and their editor, and I can't wait.
It sounds exciting. Lindsay Welbers is here. She's the author of Chicago Transit Hikes, which comes out in May, and her blog is Third Coast Hikes. Likes to encourage people to get out, even people in the city, get out there and get out into nature. What do you think? What most people think when they don't explore much outside near Chicago? What do you think people in Chicago? Why do they not do that?
I think there's the overall prevailing notion that one, you need a car to get there, which I've done. You know, I wrote a book about it. No, you don't. But lots of people don't want to drive, or it takes too long, or you feel like you have to go very far, and then it's so far, you might as well stay overnight, and then it's a whole thing. No. Or maybe they've just never really had that kind of experience. Maybe they've never received that kind of exposure to just a natural woodland setting.
Yeah.
Or maybe it legitimately just is that. They've just never had that level of exposure, but everybody can benefit from going outside. It's nice out there.
So give me some examples of something that went wrong sometimes, because you know not every hike or every trip is going to go perfectly. What are some of your stories where it just didn't go right?
Oh man, the last time I managed to get a good backpacking trip in was at Isle Royal up in Lake Superior last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Lake Superior is so beautiful that if you're really feeling brave, you could probably just drink Lake Superior and feel confident that you wouldn't die. But the Park Service does not recommend this.
No, they want
you to bring a water filter. And our water filter, my husband and I, kind of punked out on us in the middle of the trip.
Oh, no.
And like it just quit pumping water. We're sitting there at the edge of this cold lake trying to get it to turn lake water into drinkable water, and it was just not happening. So we are at this point probably 6 miles from the nearest tap.
Oh.
So tap water is not really an option. But we made it just fine. We ran into, when you come to Isle Royale, you have to do so on a boat, because it's an island in the middle of Lake Superior.
Right.
And on the boat, we met this delightful old couple, an older couple, I don't want to be rude, but I think she was in her late 60s and he was in his early 70s, and it was their first backpacking trip in life.
Wow.
I know. And so their water filter worked just fine. When we ran into them in the campground, they shared it with us, and then we spent like 90 minutes making friends while we pumped our own water so that we didn't die of thirst.
Oh, there you go. Well, it turns out good. And then you meet some people along the way. Does that happen often? Do you meet people when you're doing these hikes?
Actually, kind of all the time.
Yeah?
All the time. If everybody out there on the trail you don't have to have a conversation with them, and you know that by virtue of the fact that you have met them in this place they work to get to, you already agree on enough things.
All right. Well,
we all agree that nature is beautiful, that we should conserve it. Like, we just all agree on a lot of these. So everybody out there, and if you work that hard and find yourself in a jam, you would hope somebody would help you out of the jam. So, you know, you end up just relying a little on the kindness of strangers.
You know, this older couple that ended up being their first hiking trip. That's really amazing. Did you ask them why it took them so long before they did?
We did. They are going out of their way to visit every national park. That's what they're doing with their retirement, so good for them.
Oh, wow.
And it's a lot easier to visit every other national park, but not Isle Royale.
So
it's just a remote island in the middle of Lake Superior.
Yeah.
You have to get there with a boat. The boat comes every 4 days, so you can't really make a day trip out of it.
Wow.
You're kind of stuck there for at least 4 nights.
Wow. Every 4 days.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, that's a trip right there. All right. Lindsay Welbers is with us. Lindsay Welbers is with us, and we've got more nature hiking stories to talk about. And if you guys get out there and have recommendations for some good hiking trips and just getting out into nature, our phone lines are open. Our text lines are open. We would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. The book is called Chicago Transit Hikes. It comes out in May, but you can check out the blog at Third Coast Hikes. ThirdCoastHikes.wordpress.com. All right, more with Lindsay Welbers here on the Nick DiGilio Show as we continue.
Now I taught the weeping willow how to cry, and I showed the clouds how to cover up a clear blue sky, and the tears that I cried for that woman are gonna flood you, big river, and I'm gonna sit right here until I die. I met her accidentally in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it tore me up every time I heard her drawl, southern drawl. Then I heard my dream went back downstream, cavorting in Davenport, and I followed you, big river, when you called.
All right. Nick DiGilio here. Nick DiGilio Show continues right here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Skyline Studio here until 4 a.m. Coming up later on at 3:30. Every Wednesday at 3:30, we play a round of Know Your Onion. That's where our producer here, Tom, reads a news headline. And then you have to figure out whether it's real or it's from the satirical newspaper, The Onion. So that's coming up. We've got classic stand-up that we always play from The Tonight Show and The Johnny Carson Show, which you can see on Antenna TV every night. Steve Martin, we're going back to 1974 for some early Steve Martin. Our good friends The Empty Pockets, a really terrific band. They're going to come down here and talk about, they'll be live in studio, talk about their upcoming tour and CD and all that cool stuff. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text if you would like to join us. We are talking about getting out into nature. Lindsay Welbers is the author of Chicago Transit Hikes. It's coming out in May. You can check out the blog Third Coast Hikes. Likes to get people out there and out into nature. Lindsay, what do you think are the benefits from getting out there and going into the nature, into nature? What are some of the things that you think are great about it?
Well, there's so many. One, you get to experience wildlife. You get to take one. It's good for health. Oh, you asked a big question. There's the physical benefits. You're wandering around, and it's a little bit tougher because you're challenging your balance in new ways on the trail than you would be compared to, say, like a sidewalk. So there's a whole element of physical fitness there. There's also the mental health benefits that come from just being out in nature, and those are a little harder to quantify, but there's just something about standing in the middle of a tall grass prairie and seeing nothing but plants on all sides of you, and it's just like a salve for, we're frequently just too connected to everything else, and that fixes that problem.
Yeah. So that's what you tell people about. Also, since you go out there all the time, you have to have the right gear. You were just talking about the water filter. Earlier, what do you recommend for the best gear, and what do you need to have a safe and fun trip? I mean, this is a basic question. Like, what kind of gear do you need?
Well, for something like a lot of the hikes I outline in the book, you don't really need any particular special gear. Most of them are just simple day hikes. So it's, you know, bring a bunch of water. Water is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Got to stay hydrated.
Yep.
Bring comfortable shoes. Always, you know, if you make sure they fit and that they're going to stay on your foot. Like, don't wear your cute flats. Put on your sneakers. Beyond that, just, you know, being prepared for the weather and the sort of environment that you're going into.
And
it was really nice.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, that sounds simple enough. It sounds simple. How do you what do you say to people who may be intimidated by going out? They've never really done it before. They haven't gone camping. They haven't gone hiking. For first timers, how do people start, and what's your advice?
Start slow and stay close to home. If you're if you feel nervous or you're just not sure what you want to expect, especially if you, like, let's say you want to go camping, you've never been camping before, try and go someplace that isn't terribly far away from your own bed, if that's at all possible. If in the middle of the night it just dawns on you that you're miserable, you hate this, you want to go home, then now you know. And maybe just being close enough to know that you don't have to, or that you can just make it through the night, that might be enough of a motivator for you to be like, no, it's not that bad. I'm not too far from home. And just once you've made it, once it, do what feels the most comfortable for you. But be careful. Go at your own pace. Don't let anyone rush you. Do what's most comfortable for everybody. And everybody's definition of that is different.
Yeah. And but the advice is good. It's be if possible, be as close to home as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to go too far.
Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Lindsay Welbers is with us, and she has an upcoming book called Chicago Transit Hikes, and if you want to check out her blog, it's Third Coast Hikes. And you can, even if you live in the city, Lindsay, if people who are city dwellers here in the city, it doesn't take very long to get out there and get into nature, correct?
It really doesn't.
Okay.
Super easy.
Let's see, 630 sends in a text that says, hi, sticking with Lake Superior, has your guest ever hiked Pictured Rock National Lakeshore?
Oh, I loved Pictured Rocks.
Yeah?
Oh, that place was gorgeous. Oh, yes, the answer is yes, I have. I loved it.
Yeah.
I think that was probably our first, when we decided to start backpacking a couple of years ago, I think that was our first big hike. I think our first backpacking hike, because we wanted to stay close to home. So I think we only went up to, like, Devil's Lake, where there is no place to backpack. So it was like, that was easy.
Yeah.
We stayed near our car.
Yeah.
But we did a bit of walking around. We made sure our packs fit. We felt comfortable with it. And then we later, I think that year, went up to Pictured Rocks, and we did probably, if I do some quick math, we probably did about 20 miles worth of hiking that weekend. And it was fantastic. We dropped the car off, and then we got in a little shuttle bus inside the park, and they drove us 15 miles away from my car. And then we spent the next two nights walking back to the car, basically.
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful. I think we got rained on the whole time. I doubt it got above 50 degrees. And it was just so beautiful. Just, the lakeshore there is stunning. Just, and quite possibly the most red sunset I have ever seen.
Oh, wow.
Was on that trip.
Wow. So it's...
Good question, caller.
You still have a great time, even though it's not 50 degrees and you're wet and it's raining.
I do, yes.
Yeah, you do. here's a question. Your husband, okay, you guys go hiking and you go on these trips together. Was this a common interest, or did you have this interest and got him into it? How did that work out?
I would actually say that he was surprised when I declared that we were going backpacking now, which is kind of how it happened.
Is that right?
Kind of, yeah. Like I said, I'd grown up in the woods.
Yeah.
So that was just always how I experienced the woods. He grew up in one of the southwestern suburbs, so when he went to visit nature, it was more of a traditional camping experience.
Right.
So in his experience, camping meant staying in a campground, and there's lots of other people in the campground.
Right.
My experience before that was like, no, I'm in the woods. I'm alone in the woods. Why are all these other people here? So a traditional camping experience didn't really jive with me right away.
Yeah.
And I feel a little differently about that now.
Yeah.
But so I think that was part of the reason I declared we were going. And then he just said, yeah, let's go. So he's very easy to get along with.
Oh, he was down with it, you know, even though...
Oh, completely.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Confused, but agreeable.
Lindsay Welbers is with us. Third Coast Hikes is her blog. Check out thirdcoasthikes.wordpress.com, and the book will be coming out. It's called Chicago Transit Hikes. We got a couple of people on the line, Lindsay, who want to share some stories here.
Cool.
Here's Robert on WGN. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, great show, by the way, Nick,
Thank you.
Great guest. And the one thing I'll suggest, if you go hiking, leave your cell phone at home. You don't need to text the whole time you're out in the woods. Mm. But there's a place you can take the metro. You get off at the Western Springs stop. It's about 2 miles. It's Bemis Woods. And there's a they turned Bemis Woods into a zip line. It's an obstacle course zip line. It's called Go Ape.
Mm.
You can look it up on your phone. And for $58, you can go out there and, you know, I think it took me about an hour and a half to do the entire, you know, process. And if you can make it without falling, you're a better man than me.
Yeah.
Wow. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so it's like your guest is saying, it's a way to take a day out of your life and experience something new.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And if you do bring your cell phone because people are attached to it, turn it off.
Yeah.
Try it. You know.
Yeah.
You might like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, but I think some people bring their cell phone, turn it off, but in case there's an emergency, you want to maybe have your cell phone if you're, you know, maybe you won't even be able to get service, though, because of some of the places.
The service is no problem. But the point is, you're old enough and I'm old enough to realize that at one point, the thing that we hold in our hand was the size of your office.
Right.
So that computer that's probably the size of the entire floor is now in your hand.
Right.
And we tend to use it way too much.
Oh, yeah,
and
I agree.
You've got to get back to nature. All right, have a great show.
All right, thanks,
mate.
Robert. Take care. You ever go ziplining, Lindsay?
Not in a long time. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never done it. I'm not real good with heights, Lindsay. I'm not.
No, they strap you in. You're really secure.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's up there.
That's okay. There's lots of things. There's lots of things on the ground worth looking at too.
The studio that we're in right now is all windows around me, and we're on the 18th floor, and I very rarely look out the window. So even though I'm enclosed and I know that everything is cool, it's still I get a little shaky, especially if I walk to the edge and look down out the window. I get
that's not fun for you. That sounds fun.
Oh no, not good. Lindsay is with us. It's Lindsay Welbers, and if you want to jump in, we got some phone lines open. If you want to talk about some adventures that you've had or recommend some places where you can go hiking in and around the Chicago or Illinois area, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Lindsay Welbers, her book is called Chicago Transit Hikes, and you can check out thirdcoasthikes.wordpress.com for her blog. More talk about adventure just right outside your door. 312-981-7200. The Nick DiGiulio Show continues. DiGiulio Show continues here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 4. We're going to talk about some of the dishes that you can only get in Chicago and what are some of your favorite dishes. Our old friends, The Empty Pockets, a really terrific band. They're going to be here live in studio to talk about their new tour, and we'll play a couple of songs from them. Terms that have been populated by Gen X we'll be chatting about. Our classic stand-up from The Tonight Show and The Johnny Carson Show, which you can see on Antenna TV every night. Legendary Steve Martin. We'll play a little bit of that. And a round of Know Your Onion, which is a quiz where Tom will read a news headline, and you have to figure out whether it's real or from the satirical newspaper The Onion. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right now we are talking with Lindsay Welbers, who is the author of a book that's coming out in May called Chicago Transit Hikes, and you can check out the blog at thirdcoasthikes.wordpress.com. Lindsay wants you to get out there into nature, even if you live in the city. So, Lindsay, tell me about a couple of places here that some people might want to visit. The Joliet Ironworks Historic Site and the I&M Canal.
Yep, that's a good one.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So the Joliet Ironworks was a manufacturer of iron. They made, you know, they smelted iron there. And then I guess in the early 20th century, the early part of the 1900s, they closed the facility. And then the ravages of time happened. I think it was in the 1990s that the city of Joliet bought what was at that point a ruined ironworks. and decided to allow nature to continue to take over. They removed a bunch of invasive stuff, noxious plants you don't want, and they're allowing, you know, the natural landscape of Joliet to take over, while meanwhile these buildings continue to crumble and just let nature reclaim them. So that's super cool. And then right next to that, you have the I&M Canal. So they're two places, but they're right next to each other, so they got lumped together in the book. The I&M Canal, I think there's about 7 miles of trail there, so there's plenty for a good long hike that you would do. If you're a high-mileage hiker, there's lots of good options for you. And the I&M Canal is just one of the coolest things in Chicagoland history. I don't know if people remember that, but it was an idea first proposed to connect Lake Michigan with the Mississippi River. That idea first was written down by French explorers in the 1700s. We didn't get around to completing it until the 1930s, or maybe it was a little before then. But we did it. We connected Lake Michigan all the way to the Mississippi River, and then we quit shipping things on barges and canals mostly. So the entire I&M Canal is a wonderful, beautiful system that you can ride all the way down to, I think, Peru or LaSalle, Illinois. LaSalle. Mm. You can ride it if you really feel adventurous. They don't have a train down there, but you can't get there. It's just gorgeous. Full of turtles, actually. Just,
oh, is that
tons
right?
And tons of turtles. That's the one. I remember I was out there one day. It was a summer day. I said, I only count all the turtles I see. I ran out of fingers fast.
So a lot of turtles out there. You know, who would think, that you can see something this cool in Joliet? I mean, nothing against Joliet, but it just, this is what I'm talking about in terms of what you're doing that people can discover. Because you don't think, let's go out on a beautiful nature hike in Joliet. That's just something that doesn't pop into your head.
Nope, but there it is. I think there's just this massive disconnect, because we live a very connected lifestyle. And we're just, we have a tendency to always be staring at our screens. We forget to look up. And when we do look up, we notice there are birds there.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
There is.
And our ancestors, those who came and settled this place before even Europeans came here, we knew what beautiful landscape we were encountering. And that's why people moved here.
Yeah.
So it's been here the whole time. You just have to look around.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, this is good because, our caller said, one of the callers that called in, put your phone down for a while and look around because there's a lot to see.
And that's good advice.
Yeah. What about Indiana Dunes National Park? I've been there.
Oh, yeah? Tell me about it.
It was beautiful. Just, Indiana Dunes, and it's a very popular park, too.
You know what surprised me about Indiana Dunes when I was writing this book is I thought it had one train station, but it doesn't. Indiana Dunes has three.
Yeah.
So there's, and it's all within the national park, too. That's the cool thing. And then the national park completely surrounds the state park, which is also accessible by train. Mm-hmm. So Indiana Dunes plays heavily in the book. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. It's also very popular. I haven't been there since I was like a kid. But I remember really having a great time. Now here's an interesting. Go ahead.
What I think. I think they put it together, or at least they started marketing it this way in the last couple of years. But the state park has a really good hike. It's called the Three Dune Challenge. It's about a mile and a half long hike, so it's not a real long one, but it is tough.
Yeah.
For everybody. It's so good. It goes to the tops of the three largest dunes within the state park, the three tallest ones. And so it's not a very long hike, but it is mostly vertical and on sand. So
oh man.
So the trail is eroding beneath you as you walk. My husband and I, we went, and the two of us, we're young, we're in good shape, and we're huffing and puffing our way up.
Ugh.
And there's fat troops of Boy Scouts and little families. There was one kid who just dramatically fell down in the sand and said, I can't. It was very funny. But what's so good about the Three Dune Challenge is that, you can be a big adventure hiker like me. You can be a troop of Boy Scouts, and everybody goes at their own pace, and everybody has a challenging and really rewarding hike.
Oh, that sounds cool. I just want to get this from you, too. You've written about the best outdoor areas that are accessible for people with disabilities.
I tried to include that when I in the book as best I could.
Yeah, well, what are some of the more accessible outdoor places and experiences that people can have?
That's a tough one because everybody's definition of what accessibility is different.
That's true.
So what I've done is tried every place that made the cut, and most of the definitions, you know, most of the things that made it into the book are based upon mostly the transit system. I can't put another train station down much as I'd like to.
Gotcha.
So when I included those entries in the book, I went out of my way to try and provide a description of the trail itself. What are the conditions somebody might expect? Is it going to be rough? Is it paved with gravel? Is there a lot of topography? If there are, and there are a few parks where they will, if you need to borrow one of their wheelchairs, they will loan you the use of the wheelchair. I think Garfield Park Conservancy has a number of wheelchairs available on a first-come, first-served basis, so that's cool. The National Park, Indiana Dunes National Park, If you call ahead and inquire, but they do have one, it is a sand-capable wheelchair that they will loan out, so that's cool.
Wow.
I know. I was really excited to learn that.
I didn't even know that existed, a sand-capable wheelchair.
Yeah. Oh. Apparently, it's got treads.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
So that was the approach I tried to take. I did not want to go to all the effort of producing this book and then, you know, realize that I forgot quite a number of a
right.
large number of people.
Right.
So I just did my. I can't tell you if it's a, you know, because everybody is so different. All I can do is provide you with as much information as possible so that you can feel informed to make a decision that's best for you.
Okay. The book is Chicago Transit Hikes. It's going to be available in May, and it's more than 30 hikes that are easily accessible by CTA Metra and the South Shore Line. Lindsay Welbers is the author, and we've been having some fun talking about getting out there, and people should get out there. And the weather's getting warmer, you know?
Oh, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah. Weather's getting warmer. People should get out there and get out in the woods there. ThirdCoastHikes.wordpress.com. That's the blog, and the book comes out in May. Lindsay, a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much. And good luck. There's Lindsay Welbers, author of Chicago Transit Hikes. You can follow her on Instagram, too, at ThirdCoastHikes. And again, ThirdCoastHikes.wordpress.com. That is the blog, and the book will be out in May, Chicago Transit Hikes. For all you people who want to get out there, get some exercise, do some hiking, you can do it. Even if you live in the city, you can do it. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are going to talk about some dishes that you can only get in Chicago, and what are some of your favorite dishes in your hometown? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's the Nick DiGilio Show, continuing right here on 720 WGN.